And so here we are, Worldwide Live through BBS Radio at 5 minutes till the hour. Thank you, BBS, for making this present. Welcome all those people that are joining in online. Thank you for being here. This, as usually, goes with a simulcast with the conference call. We have a bunch of people on the phone. Well, a bunch. A few. And every time you hear a ding, there's somebody else joining in. And we had a few people come in here in the last minute. I welcome you all if you want to. And you have a chance. Please say your name and location.
I'm here. I'm Brian from Saginaw, Michigan.
Hello, Brian. Welcome to the call.
Hey, Hyde.
More people have joined in. I welcome you all. If you want to, please say your name and location.
Cleo from Connecticut. Hi,
Hyde. Michael in Camino, California.
Oh, that was three people at the same time. I did pick up Michael. And who's it from Pennsylvania?
Ben. Ben from Pennsylvania.
Hi, Ben. Welcome to the call. And welcome to you, Michael. And a lady. Who's that?
Kalisa. Oh, sorry.
Kalisa? Lisa?
I just arrived.
Hi, Lisa. Welcome to the call. You're from San Diego, right?
Pardon?
Are you from San Diego?
No, I'm from Cottonwood, Arizona.
Cottonwood. All right.
Welcome
you all. And more people have joined in. Welcome to the call. If you want to, please say your name and location. But only if you want to, we welcome you. And Ben.
Yeah.
Have you been with us before?
I was on before.
All right. Well, welcome back. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
It's Carola in Medicine Hat, Alberta.
Good evening to you, Carola. Welcome to the call.
Hi. Hi, everybody.
Hey, Carola.
Hi, Carola.
Hello.
Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Richard from California.
Hello, Richard. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
For being here.
From Corona.
Oh, is it Bonnie?
Yes.
Hi, Bonnie. Welcome to the call.
Thanks.
You kind of the bad connection with your phone line. But however, I'm glad you're here. Right. And I welcome all those people online that are joining in with this call. Thank you for being here. We are still 3 minutes away from the hour. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Wynn.
Hello, Wynn. Good evening to you.
Hey.
Hi, Wynn.
Take me to your leader.
Say it again.
The leader is arrived.
Well, I'm glad you're here, Wynn. We had a few more people join in after you. Welcome you all. If you want to, please say your name and location.
Hi, Robert from Glendora, California.
Hello, Robert. Welcome to the call.
Hi.
Thank you. Loving kindness.
And hello, Jane.
Hi.
Welcome to the call.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Welcome to the next person. Please say your name and location.
Hey, it's Fred, Eagle River.
Hey, Fred.
Hi, Fred.
Good evening to you. Welcome to the call.
Fred, is Carla here? Is Carla here?
Carla Rueckert is not.
Okay, maybe I'll call her. She's supposed to be on.
All right.
Okay. Just in case I am.
Welcome those who just joined in. Welcome. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Colleen. Hi.
Hi, Colleen. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
All right. Good to hear you again. It's been a while.
Yeah, it has. It has.
All right. Marilyn, are you here?
Marilyn's here.
All right. Welcome to the call.
Thank you, hi.
All right. Thank you for being here. Here is Carla.
Hello.
Carla Rueckert.
How's my boy?
Hey, Wynn is calling you.
He's calling me.
He's missing you. How are you, Carla?
I am just fine. How's my boy?
Fantastic.
Glad to hear that.
All right.
I love you.
Oh, that's so great.
Fine.
Carla, that's me calling you on the other line.
I see. Here I am, sweetheart. I don't know how to switch lines.
You guys are great.
Don't switch lines. I don't know how to disconnect me calling you.
Hi, Carla. I think we're going to get your voicemail.
It'll get caught.
Hey, if we get your voicemail, Carla.
Somebody better call back.
Can I leave a message for you?
Answer it and hang up.
Ben, hang up both lines, Wynn, and call back.
Yeah.
Yeah, but now sometimes when I do that, it doesn't let me on again. Okay?
Well, that's not good.
Do you want me to hang up and call back?
Well, then we have to...
You know what we should do one night? We should just call everybody up who's not on the line and talk to their voicemail.
Totally without...
And leave them a group message, right? Now, wouldn't that cheer somebody up?
I think so.
Donut Jim here.
I'm too comfy to get on the line tonight.
Jim from Irvine.
Hi, Jim.
Welcome to the call.
Hi, Jim.
Jim, are you a musician?
Hello.
Hello, Jim.
Hello, this is Terry and Dallas.
Hello,
hi. Hello, Terry.
This is Jim, and I'm from Missouri.
No, you're not.
Hello.
We've got a lady.
Hello, Don.
Hi. Hi, everybody.
Good evening, rock call. Hello, Terry.
Hi. Carla's saying something in the background.
I hear Terry. Can you all hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay. Well, I think when it's there, she hangs up, he'll never get back on.
Don't hang up.
Hi, you're from Babylon.
I'm just sitting here, man.
Hey, it's Chris.
Kelly from Idaho.
Chris.
Hi, Chris.
Welcome to the call.
I said you better go.
Hey, what's up, Ice?
How you doing, brother?
You're sounding a little cheery, Chris. What's going on?
I don't know. I guess I'm having an off day.
All right. Yeah, Wynn. Have you ever tried the same phone that Terry has? Terry always sounds really good.
Hey, what's the Skype number?
The Skype number? Somebody, you want to call in on Skype?
Yes, this is Candace.
I think it's free conferencing.
Hi.
I think it's free conferencing, and then you put the phone number in, and then put that in as a contact, and then they approve you, which they do immediately, and then you can call Skype to Skype, you know, and there's no charge. Okay? So.
Oh, nice.
It's complicated. It's complicated, right?
1-2-0-0,
okay? Yep, 1-2-0-0, right. Yeah. And
then
you have to put what? Is anybody on Skype right now? No. To get on Skype, you don't put the code number in. You just enter that.
Oh.
On Skype, but they ask you for it. You don't put the code number
maybe
in until they ask you.
Hello,
everybody.
I need to mute the phone lines.
It's all breaking up. I can't hear the Skype.
We're going to mute everybody. Here we go.
All callers are muted.
Okay, we are muted. And, hi, do you want to... zap the dings.
Okay, I got the dings, man.
Okay.
No,
tell you what,
dings.
Guys, you zap the dings and I'll zap the dongs. And together we'll build a better world.
We are all ding-dongs, right. Yes.
This conference is being recorded.
Okay, this is December 8th, 2014, Wynn Free in Sedona, Terry Brown in Sedona, Carla in Kentucky, and all of you everywhere. And as you can see, we're a bunch of sophisticated people acting like ding-dongs, right? But we just read somewhere that if you want to get into the kingdom of heaven, you got to be like children. So even though this is a very serious time, it is a very serious time in the history of the evolution of our planet. And it's serious for many of us because we are in this world. And the world is a little bit shaky, to say the least. And that we have been granted this access. And let me just see if there's anybody new on the line. Okay, so...
all callers are unmuted.
Anybody new on the line?
Hello?
Anybody calling
yes.
in? Going
Hello.
In for the first time?
Okay. Yes, this is the first time.
Okay.
Welcome. Great. Glad to have you. Thank you.
I didn't hear Daphne on the line, did I?
So my name's Candace.
Okay.
Whoa. I didn't.
A lot of feedback in the background.
Somebody's inciting a riot.
Wait, wait.
All callers are muted.
Okay, so for the people that are new, I'm just going to give a mini introduction here because we've been doing these calls now for a number of years. We do them three times a week. And my name is Lynn Free, and this started out as an experiment because I was having communications with his voice through two consecutive women that said they created the universe. And that was, you know, sounds pretty ludicrous. You know, somebody knocks you on the shoulder and suddenly a voice comes through your friend and says they want to talk to you again. And I'm asking some of the deepest questions in ever. And they're answering everything. And then I have a friend. Friend is not the right word. It's like we were drawn together because we were both doing something similar. If anything is similar, nothing is ever similar, but at least in the broadest sense, it might be considered similar. And... Carla Ruckert, and I met Carla Ruckert when I was writing the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, where the subject of that book, David Wilcock, at that time was representing himself to the world as a channel. In other words, something was talking through him from the other side, and that he believed the voice talking through him was this group soul that's made up of graduates of this realm that tries to help those of us still stuck in cycles of reincarnation. And he kept referring to a lady by the name of Carla Ruckert, who had influenced him, that was channeling the same group soul at even a higher level in 1981. And Carla has five books out. And, of course, Carla and I met at a UFO convention physically. You see, Carla, I'm saying this short, and it sounds like they're ready to take me away, right? I mean, you guys...
You tried to climb through the basement window to our room. I thought that was unusual.
I wanted to meet Carla. I wanted to meet her because I was reading about her, and I'm kind of being a skeptic, and I'm saying, do I really want to spend time writing this book? I didn't want to write it if I wasn't absolutely sure. That's The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. If I wasn't absolutely sure that it was real, at least 94% sure. And so meeting Carla, 94 and a half, I drove from Los Angeles to Laughlin, Nevada, because Carla was giving a talk there. And now, of course, I'm going to make sure the guys in the white coats come after me, okay? And while I'm doing this, I discover my girlfriend was a reincarnation of Nefertiti, and then she left me, and my old friend was a reincarnation of a Catholic saint. Now, you shouldn't believe any of this. You should laugh and say, look at the position
right.
I'm in, you know, and say, and then a couple years ago, I run into a guy who wrote a book, The Man Who Walked with Jesus, and he thinks he's the reincarnation of Matthew, who, of course, was one of Jesus' disciples who did the book of Matthew. And the strange thing is that when you start to put it all together, it actually makes sense. But doing it like a dot, dot, dot like this, it sounds like this guy's got to be crazy. But, you know, I can't make anything up. I mean, even if I can't, every story I tell is the truth, not only because I say so, but there's loads of witnesses, thousands of tape recordings, an internet track that goes back to the beginning. So my experiences really happened. The miracle with my sister really happened. These voices that are talking to me and to Carla Ruckert and through Terry Brown, they're really our voices talking to us. Are they who they say they are? They may not be. That's where you have to pay attention to figure it out. And if they are who they say they are, it could be the best attention you ever paid, because this work is not about believing in something. It's about having an experience. And the experience that's so amazing that's happening for people that are coming to our calls is these group souls that I'm saying, one is the creator of the universe and one is the one made of graduates of this universe. They say they can project energy from where they are to where we are, where you are right now. And during these calls, many people feel an amazing energy, and they feel transformations, and their depressions go away, and their fears go away. So we set this up so that you can do your own exploration. You can even come in on Wednesdays and ask them questions, and they will answer. And as you might tell, I am not a devotee type person. I am not a follower. I'm not a person that says I believe this in faith. Now, other people may be, and I'm not against that. If I'm going to talk about something to other people, I want to be able to back it up so it makes sense to your logical mind. I just don't want to say, this is true and believe it. And I am blessed to have some of the most extraordinary people in my space on these calls. And I don't usually look for guests. And this is an unusual topic tonight, alien in the White House. And the reason I'm doing this topic is that I have become somewhat of a student on the raw material. And that's Carla Ruckert, who channeled the raw material. Now, the regulars on this line have heard this and know this frontwards and backwards. So please put up with it. Hold the energy for anyone that's new. And the raw material came through from 1981 through 1983. Carla Ruckert had a partner who was a professor who was very smart, and he was also interested in channeling. So he had a group, and He didn't ask for Roth to come through. One day, he asked a question or something happened, and a voice came through Carla and said, "I am Ra. We have come because your questions are so deep that you need us." That's not exactly what they said, but that's kind of what they meant. The questions are so deep that you need us to answer them. And they said they were a social memory complex. They used to have physical embodiments, and they were on the planet Venus. And a certain percentage of that planet graduated the requirement for physical re-embodiments, and they ended up in a higher dimension, and they chose to connect together. And we're talking about hundreds of thousands of years ago. I don't know the date. Maybe it was millions of years ago. But they chose to band together as an energy unit, existing as energy, but working as a team, but not glommed necessarily together. They were all individuals that chose to work together. Just for example, like Carla keeps coming to these calls, Heist keeps coming to these calls, Terry keeps coming to these calls, I keep coming to these calls, many of you keep coming to these calls. No one is glommed to anything. Everyone has their own life, their own individuation, and we choose to come together. And I believe we, Carla, Terry, Heis, and myself, come together as a group because it creates a certain strength to be as a group. But it starts out with an inner calling, not for any outer agenda. It starts out in saying we can be of higher service to the planet if we cooperate with each other. Now, I can't do that with a lot of people, but I can do it with these three people, and I absolutely feel like no compromise of my own individuation because we're doing this. And I would imagine the Ra Group has a similar thing. There are hundreds of millions of souls that have graduated that have chosen to cooperate with each other to help the lower levels like ours graduate. And if they didn't do that, we may never graduate. We may be stuck here for eternity. So they said when they were going through physical embodiments, they had a group soul that helped them graduate, okay? So the nature of our work is to bring wisdom into this realm of how things work and how you work. It's to bring knowledge of the big picture of evolution and how the universe works. And it's to bring energy that you can actually meld with the energy of higher dimensional beings and intelligences that I believe are positive. And you have to check it out if they're positive, because otherwise you don't want to meld with them. You have to check out if we're positive, or you don't want to feel part of it. So, you know, for everyone that's first looking at this call and what we're doing, to consider it as an experiment for themselves. I mean, either that guy's totally wacko or crazy, or he is a reptilian in disguise, or God knows what people might think. But you have to check something out for a while to trust it, just like people. You know, you can't... Sometimes your first impressions are exactly right, and sometimes they're not. So if you're smart, when you first meet somebody, if you first meet a potential partner, you won't necessarily jump into bed with them right away, unless you're a guy. But even then, it's prudent to get to know somebody over time. And then you know whether you can really trust them or not, okay? And so in studying the raw material, which is not like normal channeled material, we're going to be reading a few little excerpts tonight, but in studying the raw material, it is so detailed and precise about what this group soul actually does in the way they help us evolve. And they have, they can talk through people. They can do little miracles of healing. They can, they have manifested bodies that are not real flesh and bone bodies, but some kind of light body that people could see. They talked about how they did this 10,000 years ago with an Egyptian high priest that happened to have been Edgar Cayce. Okay, and by the way, of all the things I was saying, here I am, I'm writing that book, and that's when all that other stuff is happening on top of it. And believe me, Terry was watching this most of the time, and I was talking to Carla Rucker. Carla, I knew her back in 2002, and I was calling her up, and I said, Carla, what do you think of this? I was looking for someone to understand it, because it was way above my head, right? And I learned that no one understood it, including me. And I only had to understand it by hanging in and going with the experience. All right, Carla, I'm talking too much.
But I have no idea where to break in, Lynn.
You don't. Well, I can feel your presence, even the topic tonight.
Oh, I'm here, all right.
All right. The topic tonight is we were going to talk about this alien in the White House.
That's the editorial
we. That's, the editorial we.
Yeah,
I mean, Carla never.
I'm being dragged along.
Carla never even heard of. Carla agreed to come in on this. Well, there was a thing in the raw material. Let me see if I can find it now. Okay.
About the Eisenhower? Just look up Eisenhower.
Yeah, okay. This was, you know, this was in 1981, 1982. Don Elkins, who was Carla's channeling partner, asked a question. Now, Carla, what gave Don Elkins the idea that Dwight Eisenhower met with anybody?
Well, he studied for a long time and very deeply in the UFO phenomena, all the different aspects of it. And he had run across claims that Eisenhower had indeed met with some UFO-type entities, and they had had a conversation, and then they went away again.
Mm-hmm.
So Don was very interested, if he could find out what the nature of that was, to do so. And
now, was Don aware that our government had made a deal with the negative ETs or the grays at that time?
Well, he had also run across that kind of information. So what are you going to do? I mean, he's got this information. He's got to check it out, just as you said. He's got to kick the tires.
So he was
asking the best source that he knew of at the time, which was the Rock Group.
The Rock Group.
What was going on. And the Rock Group explained as best as they could what it was.
Okay. So here is what the Raw Group answered. I have the text
in front
of me.
Mind you, I was in trance when all this was going on, so I had absolutely no idea.
You don't know what's going on, you know.
I do not.
I mean, so here's the answer from the Raw Group. Remember, these words are not composed, at least the way they explain it, These words are not composed by a single entity. And if you imagine how it occurs, the rock group exists in another timeline. And they can, it's like, here's how I imagine this. It's like they got a bunch of them, and they're kind of conferring with each other. And they can take a lot of time to figure out what they're going to say. They figure it all out, and then they put a word through Carla, and suddenly Carla sounds like one person is speaking through her, because what to us would be 10 minutes might be a very longer time for them to put it all together and feed it down. Now, that's just my idea of how it must work. Okay? Does that sound reasonable to you, Carla, as a possibility?
Well, we always wondered about that. We thought maybe they were driving around and passing the beer back and forth and deciding what to say.
Right,
we had no idea. But,
well,
you know, you can conjecture forever, and you'll never find out what's going on, really.
Well, I mean, I can ask them, too. I'll see what they say, you know?
Yeah.
I we'll get an answer.
Be my absolute guess. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I am Ra, the one of which you speak, met with thought forms which are indistinguishable from third density. Now, then, speaking of Eisenhower, he met with thought forms which are indistinguishable from third density. Let me just explain. Now, this is what happens on the Law of One Made Simple workshop, which we're going to do, where we go through the raw material. And because this stuff is so deep, it just slides past you. Okay, what they're saying is that it was possible to create what looked like a body that was in the third density, but was in fact a thought form, a thought projection, some kind of non-physical creation. And then they say this was a test. We, the Confederation, wished to see what would occur if this extremely positive-oriented and simple, congenial person with no significant distortion to its power happened across peaceful information and the possibilities which might append therefrom. The simple person, of course, was Dwight D. Eisenhower. Now, Carla, did you know his daughter is on the lecture circuit talking about this stuff and more?
I had no idea that, no. Uh-uh.
Her name is Laura Eisenhower. Anyone want to look her up? She confirms that her father, her grandfather, had this occur. I don't think she knows about the raw material. I might even tell her that.
No, she does. And she has been
Laura
documentary.
Laura Eisenhower?
Yeah.
Oh, you know who she is? I thought you didn't.
I don't know who she is. She knows who I am.
She knows who you are. Okay.
Uh-huh.
We discovered that this entity, Eisenhower, did not feel those under his care could deal with the concepts of other beings and other philosophies. Thus, an agreement reached then allowed him to go his way, ourselves to do likewise, and a very quiet campaign, as we have heard you call it, be continued, alerting your peoples to our presence gradually. Events have overtaken this plan. I wonder what they mean.
You could say that.
I wonder what they mean by that. You know, God, that's a little scary, isn't it, that one, okay? In any case, okay, this was in the raw material, and I had read it. Now, just in the last couple of weeks, you know, I'm always, like, looking on the Internet for correlated things, and I started reading this totally wild story. I mean, get this. Let me see if I can. The date. The date was, it was in 1950s. I think it might have been 57. And, okay, get ready. A spaceship lands in Washington, D.C., in full view of the police. The police swarm around it, and essentially, somebody comes out of the spaceship. And when I read this thing from Krala, I wouldn't dream this is the way it would occur. I would think that they just, Eisenhower was sitting there having breakfast, and suddenly a being manifested at his table. And he said, "Hi, we came to help." And he said, "This is too much for me," and let them go. Well, what happened was there were three beings in this spaceship, and one of them was escorted by the police to the Pentagon. Essentially, he said, "Take me to your leader," and I'm going to play a whole thing about this. There's a Hollywood person that made a movie about it, and there's another guy that wrote a book about it, because the alien, if it was an alien, who identified himself as Valiant Thor, met with a couple of preachers or ministers when he realized he was not going to succeed with Eisenhower. And one of them, Frank Strangeness, God, what a name, Strangeness, writing a book about this, wrote a book called Alien in the White House, or in the Pentagon. And there's another guy by the name of I'm going to let you hear him. He is the Hollywood producer that read this book and made a movie on it. Now, as I'm studying this, I mean, it's like one of the things that caught me is that the alien, that we'll call him Valiant, because that's how he identified himself, Valiant said he came from Venus. Of course, the Ra group graduated from Venus. So, to me, I think it's the same incident. I think it's crazy. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to play the audio. This is a 7-minute audio of Craig Calabasas. That's not his last name, but it sounds like it.
Would you believe that an angel lived at the Pentagon? What if there was proof, photographic proof, taken by a former Air Force photographer? And a statement from a Navy man who worked for Project Blue Book. Hi, my name is Craig Campobasso, and I've worked behind the scenes in movies and television for over 30 years. I am the filmmaker behind bringing this book to the screen, Stranger at the Pentagon. Harley Byrd, nephew of Admiral Richard E. Byrd, was an employee of the branch of the United States Air Force called Project Blue Book. Started in 1952, it studied UFOs and extraterrestrial life. Mr. Byrd confirms the arrival of the extraterrestrial in the book's foreword. In mid-March 1957, we received an urgent message from the Alexandria Police Department. The message indicated that two of their on-duty police officers had picked up an alien who had landed some 14 miles south of Pentagon Boulevard, and the occupant was transported to the Pentagon to meet with the Undersecretary of Defense, and then was shuttled underground to meet with President Eisenhower and Vice President Richard Nixon. The meeting lasted for nearly an hour, and then the alien visitor was put on VIP status and was shuttled back to the Pentagon, where he spent the night in the Army reception office. The alien's name was Valiant Thor. Harley Byrd also said that Valiant Thor was labeled the space emissary by the Department of Defense, and that the landing of Valiant Thor is perhaps the first documented landing of a human-type alien by military officials. Valiant Thor lived at the Pentagon from March 16, 1957 through March 16, 1960. He came with a divine design for mankind and asked President Eisenhower to implement it throughout the United States, then the world. In December 1959, knowing his presence on Earth was shrouded in government secrecy, Valiant Thor contacted Nancy Warren, a high-level clearance secretary at the Pentagon, who in turn contacted Dr. Frank Stranges, who then met with Valiant Thor. Their friendship lasted until Dr. Frank's death in November of 2008. Dr. Frank published Stranger at the Pentagon in 1967. It has been a UFO classic ever since. I met Dr. Frank in 2002 and was already a fan of his book. I had a sincere privilege of sitting with him for many years while writing the screenplay to Stranger at the Pentagon. I want to personally thank you for watching. Let's all support Valiant Thor and his mission to assist mankind, and also honor Dr. Frank's legacy. It's time for the light to be brought back into this world. So, I hope to see you all on board Victor 1 in the movies. Now, here's a short clip of Dr. Frank talking about his first meeting with Valiant Thor on the program Let's Talk Paranormal with host Tracy Austin.
Welcome to another Let's Talk Paranormal, and boy do we have a show for you today. Every single one of us has some kind of a story to share. But for my special studio guest today, Dr. Frank Stranges, he has a rather a unique story to tell, because during the 1950s, he claims to have met a man from Venus. Yes, you heard me correctly, a man from Venus named Val Thor. And guess what? It's all documented in this book, Stranger at the Pentagon. And in it, Dr. Frank tells us exactly who Val Thor is, why he's here, and there's even photographs to prove his existence. Dr. Frank, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Tracy.
This really is a real-life day the Earth stood still, isn't it?
Yes, plus. And here, coming toward me with his right hand outstretched, the man whose picture I've been carrying around with me for over a year.
Wow.
He said, "Hello, Frank, how are you?" And I thought, how in the Sam Hill does he know my name? And he knew from that time forward, the moment I touched his fingers, his skin was as soft as a baby.
Right.
And I did turn his hand over. He had no fingerprints on either hand, as bald as a peeled boiled egg. And I questioned him on that later, which he told me. And he asked me questions, just a few questions, but I asked him more questions. And he told me more about my own life than my parents and grandparents put together, which I verified later on.
Mm-hmm.
I said, "What is your name?" He said, "Valiant Thor."
There's something special about Val that, you know, you've already mentioned about having no fingerprints.
Yes.
He has no navel.
No, he has no navel and he has no fingerprints. This is why I believe he falls in the category of a created being, just like an angelic being.
Mm-hmm.
And he's unique in his way, believe you me.
Mm-hmm.
And the other members of his crew and the members of his staff, they all have navels.
Right. But being a created being, of course,
right.
He wouldn't.
But they don't have any fingerprints either.
Right.
Unique in that manner.
Wow. Let's take a look at the next picture and see what we have.
This is Commander Valiant Thor. That's exactly what he looked like when the photo was taken by Augur Roberts some years before,
mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what he looks like today. He hasn't changed one iota.
Val, just getting back to Val, where is he today?
Valiant Thor today is on board Victor 1, his spacecraft, not too far from the waterline of Lake Mead, Nevada, not too far from Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
He's there with his entire complement.
Right. And I believe that in your book you have a map of where to...
Yes.
Where Lake Mead is.
The area, yes. Uh-huh.
Right.
We also have a sketch of the interior of the ship.
Right. And is the ship underneath the waterbed? Is it on
top?
It's
right on the shoreline. Now, it's surrounded by a force field, and the only way you could possibly find that ship is if you look for a row of dead, a circle of dead insects, but the wind would probably drive them away by the time you got there.
Right. So is there a depression there, sort of like a crop circle depression? Or?
You won't see it.
You wouldn't see it.
No, because it's heavy gravel.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, Dr. Frank, I have to thank you for coming on the show today.
My pleasure.
There have been still so many questions that we haven't been able to ask you today, but hopefully you'll come back.
I most certainly will.
And we'll ask you more.
Carla?
I am here.
That is the first time you ever heard that, right?
That's right.
What do you think?
Well, it's a very interesting win. I'm going to have to keep the tires on that one.
I promised, and, you know, Carla does not know what I'm coming up with. And I could be wrong, okay? I mean, I don't think it sounds like a fake. I don't think...
Well, the whole Eisenhower thing is definitely not a fake.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but this whole report of Valiant Thor, if I read that, I mean, I would have... I tried to believe this, you know? Somebody got...
It's typical of the ridicule factor is there,
mm-hmm.
so that
yeah.
it can easily be made fun of, and
that
is generally the way it always works. There's always a ridicule factor, and they want that. They want that to be there. They want it to be.
The rock group wants it to be there, or whoever.
Yeah, they do, because they want the people to search, to find out for themselves.
Yeah, right.
So,
well, they don't want people to give up their power to them.
No, not at all, huh?
The things he was talking about, first of all, that did he use the word created being, right? Did he say that?
I don't remember.
I believe he said, Terry, do you remember? Did he say a created being? In
yes.
other words, it was not a real being. It was not a flesh and blood being. It was a created being made up of, it's almost the way the Ra groups explained their presence in this whole thing. Okay, they said, with thought forms, the Eisenhower met with thought forms which are indistinguishable from third density. Okay, that sounds like a created being, a being that was projected from other dimensions. Okay, and it also sounds like he hung around for a long time and kept meeting with this fellow, Frank Strangis, and I would think they didn't talk about this, though, you know? But the raw material definitely said they met with Eisenhower, and that Eisenhower didn't agree, and then, of course, they left. So I thought that was very interesting. Now, I did do a session with Terry, and I didn't ask a lot of questions about this. I asked one question, though, and I think I said, did this being have a soul? And they said it did. So it was a created being body with a soul. And, of course, our sources seemed to go along with the idea that it was the incident that the raw material was referring to. And if you guys want to look it up. There's a lot on the Internet about it. The guy's name, again, write this down, is Valiant, V-A-L-I-A-N-T, Thor. And the guy that wrote the book was Frank Strangis, I believe. He's got a bad name for doing this, you know? And then the guy that was talking was Craig. And if you did a YouTube search on Valiant Thor Craig, you'll come up with the video that accompanies that audio I just played. And there was a number of pictures of Valiant Thor on the video. And, of course, one person sent me a comment today, Cleo. Hi, Cleo. Thank you for your comment. And she made a comment that Valiant. She thought Valiant looks like Cary Grant. Well, I did send his picture out in the email today. And, you know, he does, he really, take a look at his picture. Look deeply into it. I think, is that the face of somebody that could be doing or say they're doing? Did you see the movie, what's that movie, The Day the Earth Stood Still? Remember that movie? Carla? She's my still on the line. Let me see here.
I have no comment except to say that these things are written and in the public domain. So
we just have to read it out. Well, you know what? It's like in the long haul, it doesn't matter the answer. If we said yes, that really happened, it's whether it's the Valiant Thor story or the raw material story, the end result was exactly the same. There was a positive source that wanted to work with our government and help change the course of the future, and we turned them down. And if we didn't turn them down, the world would probably be quite a different place today. Is this the incident? Doesn't matter.
I don't know if it would or if it wouldn't.
Maybe the world wouldn't.
I'm sorry. I was just saying, I don't know if the world would be very different because the energies of selfishness, greed, the whole idea of winning is the only thing, and
mm-hmm.
That we must fight for the right, and whatever we say at the time is the right, and it doesn't do to question that.
I think if we accepted their help, I think
if we had been able to, right? But I think Eisenhower was right. I don't think this world is ready to lay down the sword and pick up peace and you know, all of the arms of peace, the discussions, the conversations, knowing how to communicate with each other rather than just bash each other over the head and smite people until we get our way. It just seems so deeply set in our bones that we are in the deeply felt difficult, muddy, grimy. We are in Earth. And here on Earth, it is most challenging to love and use the energies of love to the exclusion of the energies of fear. And I pray that the Ra group, the Elohim group, and all of those of like mind are able eventually to move us to a balance where we are going to be able to start thinking about love rather than fear as a way of life.
Well, you know, the raw material made a case of graduation. They said we are in the end of a cycle, and this is a period where they make the case, of course, that one can get off the wheel of reincarnation because this is the group that did that, and that we are in the period where we can potentially graduate. And kind of related to Jesus's prophecies of one will be taken, one will be left behind, and graduation means having an open heart. So whether you can save the planet, change the planet, we are all in a position to learn how to change ourselves and people around us, and to feel the love that can be projected in from the positive beings in higher densities. And that's what's happening on our calls. And I just wanted to mention that on Saturday, Carla and I are doing session 10 of the Law of One made simple. And we're taking the text of book one of the raw material, and we're going through it with a fine-tooth comb and explaining it as we go. The raw material is one of those, as best we can, right, is one of those pieces that has multiple depths of meaning, and it's easy to miss it. It's even I have had to read it more than once. And even when I read it now, I continue to get things out of it because it's that deep. And so hopefully we're going to make it accessible. And the way we work the workshop is, this is session 10. When you come into session 10, you get all the previous sessions, the audios of them, 9 other sessions. Each one is 3 hours. It's 30 hours long then up till now. And the suggested donation for session 10 is $25. And if you're a repeat, if you've been to the other sessions, it's $20. And with either 25 or 20, you get all the previous sessions. So you can, it's like you get the Law of One, the raw material made simple. And it's like you can play it in your car, there are MP3 players. And one of the things that happens is when you play our material, many people have said this, time moves at a different rate. It speeds up. So you can all try that and play it in your car, and you'll find you get to places faster. And the time where you're just bored on the road, it creates a new energy. It's not the whole thing about this work we're doing, that it's not about the information, although the information is important. It's about the energy transfer from higher dimensions into this dimension, and sometimes the information helps open your mind up to that it's even possible for that to occur, because I wouldn't have believed that 10 or 20 years ago, and if I hadn't been sitting in the middle of this, I'm not sure I believe it. And if you're listening and you're skeptical, please be skeptical, but just kick the tires for a couple months. Listen to some of our archives. Come to some of our calls. Ask a question on a Wednesday, because it's not about information. It's about making connection with the energy. And once you do that, that is a very significant thing for a human to accomplish on this planet, to make connection with the positive energy that can flow in from higher dimensions and open your heart, open your chakras, open your ability to love others, create increased synchronicities. And these are all things we've seen happen, and sometimes even miracles of healing. And those are worthwhile things to pursue if it works for you. So we have a regular group of people. I assume it's working for them because they keep coming back. They tell me it's working for them. And it's kind of amazing to watch because it's a little community that's built out of nowhere here on the phone and on the internet. And what's kind of amazing is every so often I get an email from somebody that's been out God knows where. I never heard of them before. And they said, I've been listening to your calls. It's changed my life. And some of you are listening right now that I'll bet you send me, some of you are going to send me an email one day that says that. And maybe you're thinking, I'm one of those people and I never told them. So just, it's okay. Because when you get around to it, let me know.
It's good for his ego.